draw back from him so that he may be struck down and die. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Are you kidding me?
Long years ago, maybe 35, 33, 34 years ago, a parishioner came to me for pastoral counseling on a matter that had devastated her conscience for more than two decades, and was not unlike the story of David and Bathsheba, pregnancy, out of wedlock, resentment, guilt, regret, and a sickly child. And she and I talked at length over several sessions, including liturgical private confession, intense discussions, penance, reconciliation of a penitent, which is one of our acts of liturgy in the Book of Common Prayer, and a service that concludes, "Our Lord Jesus Christ, who has left power to his church to absolve all sinners who truly repent and believe in him, of his great mercy, forgive you all your offenses. And by his authority committed to me, I absolve you from all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." And then, "The Lord has put away all your sins. Go in peace." Theologically, wiping her slate clean. When it was over, she said, "You have not done a thing for me, Tom Weller. I know God forgives me, but I cannot forgive myself." For a Christian, rating self-contempt and self-hatred above the mercy, loving kindness, and forgiveness of God is bad theology at best, and even blasphemy. Today's story about King David is old stuff to us. We know this old Bible story. Heard it in Sunday school, most of us, years and years ago. We know all the savory and unsavory characters. We also remember that for all the people in the Bible, and there are many, many of them, that God, Yahweh, Adonai the Lord, loves them all, but only makes friends with two people: David the shepherd king and Abraham the patriarch, God's old drinking buddy. I know how that is. I don't have a drinking buddy any longer. My old drinking buddies have all died of old age, and only I am left. But I do have a walking buddy, Robert, who's my age. We walk Mondays and Friday mornings. And I have an oyster buddy my age, and we usually finish off a pitcher of beer along with several dozen oysters. And God and Abraham, two guys about the same age, were buddies from the moment God said, "Go from here to the land that I will give you, and I will show you." And then he laid down the promise, "I will give you land, and I will bless you, and you will be a blessing, and I will give you as many descendants as there are stars in the sky and grains of sand on the seashore." Now, admit it or not, everybody has a favorite. Adam was the son of God. Adam was a son, but Abraham was God's favorite, even though Abraham let God down any number of times with his chicken yellow cowardice. Abraham, scared, lying, and telling kings that Sarah, his beautiful, vivacious, sexy 90-year-old wife, was his sister. So various kings would welcome Abraham and marry Sarah into their harem instead of killing Abraham and seizing his wife, as was the custom in that day and age. Abraham could be disgusting, a contemptible old man, but Abraham and God had a long history together, and Abraham obeyed and loved God, and God loves Abraham unconditionally, which is a theological definition of grace. And even though God strung Abraham along with covenant after covenant for 25 years, God eventually did keep his promise because God loves Abraham. The other person that God loves and favors so dearly is David. David. David came into God's life as a young shepherd boy just when God needed a king to replace King Saul. And so David, with his rod and his staff that comfort me, David with his harp and his psalms praising God, David tall, ruddy, handsome, with beguiling eyes, David the fearless warrior child who slays Goliath, David the most innocent of Jesse's 8 sons, David is chosen by God and anointed by Samuel and lives into his destiny as the most beloved king in all history. David, the lusty one, who broke God's heart by treachery, sin, the most unspeakable crime in all the Bible, betraying a loyal, devoted army officer. David steals Uriah's wife in adultery. David impregnates Bathsheba. And when Uriah, in honor, trust, and highest integrity, innocently does not cover David's sin, David wickedly consigns Uriah to death in battle. The sin and high crime of the Hebrew Bible. How does Joab, the general, feel respectfully toward David now? He's the one got the note. How does David feel about himself? How does Nathan, the prophet, David's chaplain and spiritual director, feel about David? How do you feel about David? And worse, how does God feel about David? What's the moral of this horrendous, disgusting, repulsive old Sunday school Bible story? Pick one. Pick a moral. You pick one. You know the story. You know the rest of the story as well as I do. Pick a moral. When Nathan confronts lusty, arrogant, love-struck King David with the enormity of his sin, David is devastated. He is appalled at himself. He realizes what he has done, and he repents. But the baby boy dies, and David and Bathsheba's next boy, Solomon, becomes king, a memorable, said to be wise, but cruel despot with hundreds of wives and hundreds of concubines who conscripts thousands upon thousands of brutally abused people for slave labor. It's in the Bible. Read the story. And yet before the story is over, Nathan will say to David, "The Lord has put away all your sin." Are you kidding me? Jiminy, Christmas. There's nothing sacred, not even honor, not even integrity. Apparently, if God loves you, no sin is unforgivable, even this evil. No sin is unforgivable, even this evil. Now, you are smarter than I, but I hope you have not jumped the gun on my proclamation and see the inevitable outcome and conclusion of this. The old story of Abraham and today's David story are about you. They're about you. You. They're about you. God loves you, just as God loves Abraham, the contemptible coward, just as God loves David, the murderous adulterer. God loves you. Whatever your sin, whatever dreadful thing you have thought or schemed or said or done, there's forgiveness for the sinner because God loves you. Baptismal covenant. Whenever you fall into sin, will you repent and return to the Lord? I will with God's help. Look and see, remembering Abraham and in the story of David this morning, how it is between you and God, between God and you. God loves you just that much. You, a Gentile sinner, baptized in water, coming to Jesus, coming to God through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stop and think. Right now, stop and think. What have you done? What sin is troubling you? What sin against God, or against yourself, or against another person is holding you back, separating you from God? Do not grovel in guilt, self-pity, or self-damnation, as did that parishioner who came to me so many years ago.